WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
We're talking about the impact of the FCC's increasingly strict enforcement of its indecency standards. Many broadcasters say the FCC's rulings have been unclear and inconsistent and are leading to self-censorship. My next guest is Jonathan Adelstein, who has been an FCC commissioner since December 2002. He was previously a senior legislative aide to Democratic Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle. Commissioner Adelstein, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thanks for having me, Terry.
A lot of broadcasters I know are unclear about what the FCC considers acceptable and what they risk getting fined for. So let me just ask you how the recent FCC decisions have changed the standards of indecency and profanity.
Well, it's understandable that there is a lot of confusion about what the rules say. It really depends on the context, and we don't give advance notice about what is or isn't appropriate because the law actually prohibits us from engaging in censorship, and prior restraint like that would be tantamount to censorship. And so people have to kind of guess. And because we've strengthened our enforcement in recent years, I think there's been a lot of resulting confusion.
Yeah, now the F word decision was one of the best known of the recent FCC decisions, and this was pertaining to Bono at the Golden Globe Award ceremony. And he had said that something was effing brilliant. And originally, the FCC staff said that effing in that context was okay because it was an adjective that meant in that context incredibly, like that was incredibly brilliant or very brilliant. But then the FCC commissioners overruled the staff and said, no, that word is what, inherently indecent?
It's not inherently indecent. There actually is a contextual analysis that we do. I think that there's a lot of questions about that because it was a departure from some previous policy that broadcasters perceived. Particularly in a case of a fleeting incident like that, we've always held that fleeting examples of things like that should be looked at differently than something that was intentional or could have been more easily prevented. And the result, of course, of that is that people are using technology to try to block various words in advance. One of the other things that we used that was new was profanity analysis. Never before had the FCC held anything to be profane, but there was a new type of analysis done saying certain words are profane, and that is something that is subject to some confusion as well as to what the words are, because there's variants on these various words that people don't know when and where they can't or can't say it. So I thought that given all of the vast outcry about our decision in that case, there was a lot of requests for us to reconsider the decision, and that wasn't done before we moved on and found all kinds of other words to be inherently indecent or profane. As a matter of fact, one of the problems with it is that we find these words to be inherently sexual or excretory, which is kind of strange in some cases because the clear intent of the speaker isn't that. I mean, and I don't like to get into all these words on the air, but some of these words, for example, that might represent the excrement of a bull aren't necessarily excretory when they're said. They're meant to intend to be somebody who's dissembling as opposed to something that would be inherently excretory. So these, we get ourselves into a bit of a cul-de-sac when we get into that kind of an analysis. And right now we're deep in one, and there's all kinds of confusion resulting in litigation, people not knowing what they can and can't say on the air. And we have to date not been willing to reconsider that. The chairman hasn't brought that to a vote before the commission, so we're still kind of leaving it out there.
Now, the FCC recently said that Saving Private Ryan could be played on broadcast TV uncut, because removing the expletives would have diminished the realism of the story. So can we assume that those expletives in Steven Spielberg's war movie are also okay in documentaries about war?
It's a great question. There seems to be a lot of confusion about that because we held in a documentary about the Blues that it wasn't okay to use certain words. And yet in Saving Private Ryan, which is a dramatic rendition of a war, we said it was okay. Now we're getting questions about a World War II documentary by Ken Burns, which uses of course, original footage that contains expletives that you might expect to hear from soldiers in the midst of a war. So if it's not okay in the blues, is it okay in a war movie? If it's a real depiction of events that we said were okay in a dramatic depiction by Steven Spielberg. I think we're really tying ourselves in knots here, and that's a great example of the difficulty that we're putting broadcasters under. And there's a lot of uncertainty out there. Some people are saying they don't want to air it during hours when children may be listening. I think, generally speaking, that in the context of that kind of a situation, if it was okay in Saving Private Ryan, I haven't heard the exact details, but it may be okay in the context of a documentary. But I can't say that that's the case for the majority of my colleagues who held that in another documentary, such types of language were offensive and inappropriate and held to be indecent and profane.
Well, let me just bring up another twist in this story. Say it's a documentary and veterans are talking about prior experiences during war and using expletives, not in battle, but in discussing battle. You know, how would that be? I guess your answer would be, who knows? No one knows right now.
Nobody knows. I mean, we need to look at the context of each one of these types of events. And of course, I think that we need to look at the context in terms of documentaries and news being in a separate category.
Well, let me ask an obvious question. If you, an FCC commissioner, don't know the answer to those questions, how is a broadcaster supposed to put together a show, whether it's a fiction show or a documentary about war? I mean, if we don't know what the standards are and we risk getting enormous fines, how are we supposed to produce a show on these things?
I think it was a lot easier before we started playing around with the standards as to words. I mean, I think we've got ourselves now in a bit of a conundrum where there is a confusion about, is it okay in a war documentary but not a war drama? Mm-hmm. Is it okay in a blues documentary but not a war documentary? Or is it okay in a 9/11 documentary because it's politically correct to talk about those words on 9/11, but it's not okay in the context of a blues documentary? I don't think the standard should change. That's why I dissented from the part of the decision that held the blues documentary to be indecent, because can we decide what documentaries merit the use of certain words and which ones don't? Is it just what three of the five of the commissioners on the FCC think? I think we need to have standards in place that are clear and that provide guidance to people about what is and isn't appropriate. And I think in the context of these documentaries, that is something that we need to make clear has a greater burden for us to find something to be impermissible.
You're saying that the FCC has been tying itself in knots over these decisions, and that now we have a set of very unclear standards. So how did we get into this predicament? Why is this happening?
What really started us down this difficult road, I think, was a decision in the Bono case, the Golden Globes case, where we found a fleeting use of the F word to be indecent and profane. Ever since that time, there's been the whole vocabulary that we have to go down now to figure out what people can and can't say. Now, nobody wants their children exposed to these kind of words on the air. I mean, to make a major effort as families to keep our kids from using these kind of words. We don't want to be exposed to it on the air and taken by surprise. And certainly it's inappropriate for broadcasters to be using these types of words. The question is whether or not in a fleeting case like that, it actually rises to the level of indecency to the extent that we can fine a station for using it. We promised the Supreme Court in the Pacifica case, when the FCC counsel went in front of the court, that we would show great restraint and walk along a tightrope to make sure that we didn't overstep our bounds.
Let me just interrupt you and say this is the famous George Carlin seven dirty words that you can't say on television case.
That's right.
Yeah, go ahead.
We said at the time that we would show great restraint in exercising the power that we have, and that in particular these fleeting examples would be something that we would try to not come down so hard on. And now we've really changed that. And the problem is that was a decision in Pacifica that was a 4-5 decision. We were only upheld by one vote. So we're barely in a position to maintain our authority. If we make a mistake and we overstep our bounds, the problem could be that we could forever lose our authority to restrict the broadcast of what we consider to be indecent material over the airwaves.
Well, let me say that there are four networks that are appealing the decisions that the FCC made in March. So are you suggesting that if these networks win in that appeal, that the FCC will lose its authority or some of its authority?
it's really a roll of the dice when you go in front of a court with a difficult case like we've made for ourselves. If we're overturned by the court, we don't know what the implications could be. It's very possible that they could constrain our authority in ways that are broader than we currently envision. So it's a dangerous thing. We need to exercise our authority with great restraint, if for no other reason than to protect our ability to prevent children from hearing material that's indecent.
Jonathan Adelstein has been an FCC commissioner since 2002. He'll be back in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're talking about the FCC's increasingly strict enforcement of its indecency standards and why many broadcasters say the FCC's recent rulings are inconsistent and confusing and are having a chilling effect. Let's pick up where we left off with Jonathan Adelstein. He's been an FCC commissioner since 2002. Let me express another concern that I think many broadcasters share, and that is when you're operating in guidelines, with guidelines that are ambiguous, as most broadcasters feel is the case now, if you're in doubt about anything, you almost have to err on the side of not saying it or not including it in the program because the fines are so steep and the guidelines so vague and confusing. You know, the risks are so great if you're ruled against that you can't afford to take that risk. So what a lot of broadcasters are saying is they're forced to follow a kind of extreme form of self-censorship.
I am afraid that we're seeing something of a chilling effect on free speech as the outcome of some of our more dangerous decisions that we've made in this area. I understand why broadcasters want to be very careful and cautious, and we want them to be careful and cautious. When I first got to the commission, it was virtually anything goes. There was very little enforcement of our indecency rules, and I felt that as somebody sworn to uphold the law, I was in charge of making sure that we did step up and enforce those rules. And everybody, I think, applauded the initial steps that we took. But more recently, I think we're starting to get off track where we're really coming down hard on things that are fleeting or that are in the context of a documentary that is creating a lot of confusion and perhaps maybe having a chilling effect on what is otherwise constitutionally protected free speech.
Do you think the public and broadcasters can be confident that the FCC commissioners are basing their ruling on something larger than their personal tastes in what is acceptable and unacceptable?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm not sure if they do. I mean, ultimately, what becomes indecent is what three of the five of us say is indecent. A good test case for that is we recently had a number of complaints about a comment by the President of the United States that was broadcast, I believe, over NPR. And a number of people complained that that was broadcast on the air. It was the S word. And let's see whether or not people who say that you can't use that word in the context of a blues documentary say it's okay if the president says it. I personally think that it was okay in the blues documentary because it was in the context of a piece like that. I think that this was newsworthy in terms of what was said by the president. So is there a double standard here or not? I mean, are we going to be consistent? It's a good question, and that would be a good test case to see whether or not there is that kind of consistency or whether it depends on the taste of the commissioners.
Give us an example, if you could, of a time when you think the FCC approach to regulating indecency worked best, a decision that you're really proud of, either that you were part of or that your predecessors were responsible for.
Well, there's a number of cases of material that just sort of really went over the line that we've been involved in. I mean, the Super Bowl is a good example. I think that parents were watching the Super Bowl and they weren't expecting sort of a display that they ended up getting in that halftime entertainment portion. When parents are sitting around with their kids, as I was, and they're trying to watch something like that, it's really takes them by surprise when they're exposed to that kind of a strange and, you know, inappropriate display. People have to know that there is a safe area. They're watching television and they don't have to basically jump in front of the TV and protect their kids from seeing things that they don't think should be broadcast in front of them. So, and a big family show like that broadcast in front of tens of millions of people, hundreds of millions around the world, we would hope that there would be a better taste displayed.
Now, you know, a lot of people have pointed out that it was the Janet Jackson thing that was objected to, but at the same time, the Super Bowl was filled with ads for male potency drugs. And, you know, a child is at least as likely to ask, Mom, what's that drug for? So what's the difference between, you know, this like split second revealing of Janet Jackson's breast and, you know, a lot of 30 and 60 second commercials that have to do with, you know, male sexual arousal and potency and so on?
There was also a commercial for a horror movie that had this really scary creature flying out of the screen right at my children. I practically had to jump out of my seat and get between the screen and my kids so that they wouldn't have nightmares that night and I'd be kept up that night. I mean, what are broadcasters thinking, putting that kind of violent material on the air during a family program when they know that a lot of kids are watching? So there's all kinds of inappropriate material on television that doesn't necessarily rise to the level of indecency. We have a very constrained ability to act on what is actually indecent.
The FCC wants to change its mind about a decision or several decisions that it made, and it told that to an appeals court in which an FCC decision is being appealed. Can you explain that?
The FCC general counsel actually asked a court to give back to us something that was being appealed by broadcasters. We had found several words to be indecent, but we didn't fine the stations because they were uttered before we changed the policy to make those words impermissible. So the broadcasters found they could take this right to court. And all of a sudden, when we learned that we could be exposed to a quick legal decision on these things, and we were somewhat exposed to it, we asked the courts to send it back to us rather than ruling on it so we could reconsider the decision. But the irony of that is that all along, we've had the same exact issue pending before us in the Golden Globes case, where we've been asked for 2.5 years to reconsider that case, and we haven't done so. So we're in the embarrassing position of asking a court to send back to us something to reconsider, which we just did, when we're actually not even willing to reconsider something we've been asked to reconsider for 2.5 years. So you can see that we're tying ourselves in legal knots here. And I think we're trying to avoid court scrutiny because of the difficult position we've put ourselves in.
So are you saying that the FCC is afraid that if the appeals court rules against the FCC, that the FCC would lose authority? Therefore, the FCC said, wait a minute, we want to reconsider our decision.
Ostensibly, we've asked the courts to give this back so that we can give due process to broadcasters who weren't given an opportunity to respond before. But if, in fact, we wanted to really reconsider the decision, which is what the general counsel told the court we wanted to do, we could do that without having to send these things back to us because we've had something pending before us for 2.5 years that we haven't reconsidered on the Bono case. So it's certainly got to raise questions in people's minds about what our true motives are here and whether or not we're just sort of playing games to avoid legal peril.
There is screening technology now that can enable parents to screen out programs they don't want their children to see. Should the availability of that technology change the FCC's approach to regulating indecency?
Well, already the courts have held that because we're dealing with constitutionally protected speech, we have to use the least restrictive means possible to prevent children from being inappropriately exposed to this kind of material. That means, for example, that cable is outside of our reach and satellite is outside of our reach because this is something that parents are actually paying for and inviting into their home. And these technologies do enable parents to block a channel or a particular set of programming, depending, that they might think is inappropriate for their children. So less restrictive means than the government saying this can be prevented for everybody is for a parent to be able to take control within their own home and say that I'm going to protect my children by either not subscribing or putting some kind of a filter on. When it comes to broadcast, the courts have held it's different because it's so pervasive. There's a billion radios out there. TVs are everywhere, and you can't necessarily block it. These decisions, of course, were made before the days of the V-chip, but there still are televisions without V-chips out there. So I think for the time being, it does appear that we're going to have authority over broadcasts as long as we don't overstep our bounds and find ourselves really circumscribed by the courts.
Well, Commissioner Adelstein, thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Terry.
Jonathan Adelstein has been an FCC commissioner since 2002. We recorded our interview yesterday. Today, the U.S. Court of Appeals granted the FCC request that Commissioner Adelstein was just discussing to reconsider its decisions on four cases pertaining to profanity.